Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad you have joined us for this week's teaching. You know, he tells us, great shalom have those who love his Torah, and nothing will cause them to stumble. This week, we're going to jump into our new series, and we're going to be talking about Joseph and his life, and we're going to see some of the things that we can learn from his life that we can apply into ourselves and some wisdom that we can pick up from some of the things that Joseph experienced and went through in his life. So we're going to be in Genesis chapter 37, and we're going to start with verse 1. Now Jacob lived in the land where his father had sojourned, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, when 17 years of age, was pasturing the flock with his brothers while he was still young, along with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought back an evil report about them to their father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his sons because he was a son of his old age. And he made him a very colored tunic, and his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, and so they hated him. So I want to pause here for a moment with the reading. What we're picking up here in Joseph's life is he is at the age of 17. He is still a young man. And we can see even at a young age that Joseph seemed to have a little bit of trouble already in his life. It seems that he does not get along with his brothers because his father loves him more than he loves all of his other sons. So his brothers are jealous of him, and his brothers are unable to speak to him in peace. So we can see that there is a bit of rift, or you could say there is a family drama that is going on here in the family. And Joseph is basically in the midst of it. So if his brothers aren't able to speak to him in peace, what is his relationship like with his brothers? But yet in this, we see in this passage that Joseph brings an evil report of his brothers unto his father. So we get a bit of this glimpse into who Joseph is, even at the age of 17. And as we go on with the story of Joseph, we seem to see that Joseph was a pretty righteous young man, that he seemed to be pretty responsible. He knew what needed to be done. He knew what the right things were to do. And he seemed to have a desire to do those things which were right, to do those things which needed to be done. And when he saw his brothers not doing what they should be doing, he brings back an evil report to his father. Even though you see that he does not live in peace with his brothers, we don't know the motive behind why Joseph is doing this. I don't know if it's a, you know, he feels the tension with them. He's like, so let me show you. Or if it's a bit of Joseph that knows what's right and he's going to report when something is going on that is not right. And maybe it's this bit of a character, this character that we see in Joseph is a reason why Joseph is picked by God, because we're going to get into the part where Joseph is given the dream. So the 12 sons, why is Joseph picked to be the one to receive the dream? Why is Joseph picked to be the son who's going to have to go through the testing and the trials that is going to face him in order to be positioned, in order to save his family, and ultimately to provide a harbor, a safe place for the family, which represents the promise of God, okay? So why is Joseph picked? So is there some character things that are in Joseph that caused him to be the son that was picked by God? Did God know that Joseph was the one who desired righteousness? Did he know that Joseph was the one who could go through what was needed to go through and do what was right in order to be positioned in the right place at the right time in order to bring salvation, you could say, to the family? And so we see a bit of a glimpse of that in verse 2, where Joseph is willing to come back and bring an evil report unto his father about what his brothers were doing when they were not doing what they were supposed to be doing. Okay. Now let's look at verse 5. Then Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, so they hated him even more. And he said to them, "Please listen to this dream which I have had. Indeed, behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and behold, my sheaf rose up and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves gathered around and bowed down to my sheaf." Then his brother said to him, "Are you really going to reign over us? Or are you really going to rule over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. So here we see the dream that is given unto Joseph. Okay, so Joseph has something in his life that shows God that this is the one that I am going to use. There is something in his life that has shown God that he is one who is able to be counted upon. And so God sees his vessel, the one he can use. So he gives Joseph this dream. Now, Joseph dreams this dream, and he can interpret the dream right away. He can see that his brothers are going to bow down unto him. So he has his dream. He sees what's coming in that regard. What Joseph is unaware of is what he is going to have to go through in order to see that dream come to pass in his life. So I believe God gave this dream to Joseph at this time for a purpose and for a reason, because Joseph was about to have to go through some serious testing. He was going to have to go through some hard times in order to be positioned in the place that he needed to be positioned in order to provide a safe place for the family during the famine. So God, in his goodness, provides Joseph with a dream, with a glimpse. He does not give Joseph everything. Had he given Joseph everything, Joseph may not have chosen to go after the dream. He may have said, "That's too much." But he gives Joseph what he knows Joseph needs in order to have something to hold on to as he goes through the hard times and the testing that he is going to go through in order to be positioned for what he needs to accomplish. I believe that as Joseph was sold unto Potiphar, that as he is serving in Potiphar's house, and we see through that story, and as we get on in this series, we're going to talk about the character of Joseph more and how he went through these trials and how he overcame these trials. But I believe that as he was going through these trials, as he shows himself to be a faithful servant in Potiphar's house, and I believe that Joseph had shown himself to be a faithful servant before ever going to Potiphar's house. That's why God knew that he could send Joseph there and he would be a faithful servant, because Joseph was already a faithful servant. But he gives Joseph this dream so that while he is serving in Potiphar's house, which probably to Joseph seemed backwards in terms of the dream that he had received. I mean, if you think about it in the natural and in our natural minds, we receive this dream that my brothers are going to be bowing down to me and I'm going to be ruling over my brothers. But now what's actually happening in the here and now is they threw me in a pit. My father believes I'm dead, and I am a slave in an Egyptian's house. It doesn't seem in the natural that Joseph is progressing and moving towards seeing this dream fulfilled. But I believe that Joseph held on to this dream while serving in Potiphar's house. I believe it was a thing that he took hope in. I don't believe that Joseph had the full picture of what was coming and what was happening. Joseph probably did not see why he was there until Pharaoh dreamed his dream and he interpreted Pharaoh's dream. At that point, it was probably like all the lights went off in Joseph's head about what had happened and what had transpired and why he was where he was. But all he knew while serving in Potiphar's house was he had this dream. And I believe it provided hope for him to keep doing that which was good, that which was righteous, to be a faithful servant, to do what he needed to do. And that is how God will treat us. He loves us. He is gracious unto us. And he will do the same unto us like he did with Joseph. He will provide us with a dream. He will provide us with a glimpse of the future. He has given us a glimpse of what we will see and have after this life, an eternity of something that we can't hold on to, something that we can hold on to have faith. So as we go through the hard times, as we go through the trials and the testing, as Joseph did, we have something that we can hold on to have hope. And if we keep our hope and what is to come, and not what we see in the present moment, then we can attain what we're going to have in the future. If Joseph had lost hope in the dream, if he had lost hope in what the future was, and had given in to what he had in the present moment in time serving in Potiphar's house, he never would have made it before Pharaoh and to serve and to reign as second in command in Egypt. He never would have seen the dream fulfilled in his life. He had to hold on to the hope of the dream and not live in what he was at in that moment in time. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17. For our momentary light affliction is working out for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So here is Paul speaking, and he is telling us that what we are going through, okay, so as what Joseph was going through, serving in Potiphar's house, that was momentary. Being thrown in prison after being falsely accused was momentary and was light affliction. What we're going through is momentary and is light affliction. It is light compared to what is being worked out inside of us. Something was being worked out inside of Joseph. He was being prepared for something greater than the affliction that he was going through. It was far more weightier. It was the glory that was to come, that Joseph was going to be used for, was so much greater than the affliction that he went through being thrown into the pit by his brothers, having to serve in Potiphar's house and being mistreated, being lied about, falsely accused, and being thrown in prison. That was light affliction. And it's the same that can be said as what we're walking through every day now. It is light affliction compared to the weight of the glory that we're going to see and have in eternity. Paul goes on to say, while we look not at the things which are seen, so we're not looking at the things here in the now as they seem present. We're not looking at the present circumstances. Joseph wasn't looking at his present circumstance. He was looking at the dream. He was looking at the thing that he had not seen yet. We have to keep our eyes focused upon the right things. We have to keep looking at those things which are not seen. We have to look at the weight of glory that is ahead and not look at what is going on in the here and now. Because what is here and now, if you're looking and focus upon your current circumstances, they are temporary. So don't look at those. If you're looking at that which is temporary, the temporary can remain permanent. But if we choose to look at which we cannot see right now, not looking at our temporary circumstances, but looking at the hope that is ahead, at the eternal, then we will see the eternal. We can see his glory. We will experience his glory. We can see the manifestation of our dream, just as Joseph saw the manifestation of his dream, because he did not look at the temporary. He did not live in the temporary, but he hoped in the future. He looked towards the future. So God has given us something to look forward to. He has given us the eternal, and sometimes he will give us something to hope and to look for even here on this earth, before we even get to the eternal. But we all have the eternal to look for and to hope for and to believe for and to live for. And so we have to live for that which is eternal and not for that which is temporary. So we don't look at what is going on now, but we look at what is ahead. Because you're going to go where you are looking. You want to go what's ahead, you got to look ahead. If you want to get stuck where you're at, then sit and look at nothing but your temporary circumstances. Let's look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 24. For in hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, With perseverance, we eagerly wait for it. So here is Paul talking about hope. For in hope we were saved. We were saved because we had a hope and something that was beyond the here and the now. Because we had a hope and we believed in something that we could not see right now. So if you say you have hope, that means that you're hoping and you're believing in something that you do not see. You cannot hope in something that you already see or have. The hope is in something that you have not seen yet, that you do not have yet. And we hope in that which we do not see. And in doing that, we develop character and perseverance and strength and endurance. And with perseverance, hanging on, enduring through what we're going through. That is what Joseph did. Joseph persevered through the time in Potiphar's house and through the time in the jail. He persevered, eagerly waiting for the dream to manifest itself. And it did, to be manifested. And so we eagerly wait and we persevere through what we're temporarily going through in order to have the weight of our eternal glory, or the weight of the glory that is ahead for us. So we persevere just as Joseph persevered. He was given something to hold on to give him hope to persevere through the trial, and he did. That's what we can learn from Joseph. He was given a hope. And upon given that hope, life actually did not get better. Life actually became harder and a little rougher and a little tougher for a time period. But Joseph did not lose heart because of that. Joseph did not lose hope in the dream because of that. But instead, he allowed the dream to provide hope for him so that he could persevere through his temporary circumstances, through the light affliction that he was going through, so that he could experience the weight of the glory that was ahead. And that's what we can learn. He has given us hope. He will give you hope. But it doesn't mean that life is going to automatically get better upon receiving that hope. But you may and probably will have to take the same path that Joseph did. You're probably going to go through a season of affliction, and you're going to need that hope to persevere through that season. And if you endure through that light affliction, then you can experience the weight of the glory that is ahead. Let's look at 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16. For all that is in this world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away, and also its lust. But the one who does the will of God abides forever. So here's John speaking about the fact that we don't live in this world as is. It is passing away. We don't serve this world. So we don't live in the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. But we live to do the will of the Father, because that is what is eternal. And as we look at Joseph's life, he was tempted in some of these regards along the way as he was going through affliction before he received the weight and the glory of the hope of the promise that was given unto him, of the dream that was given unto him. Joseph could have given in to his flesh in those moments, but he didn't, because he was living for something that was greater than himself. He believed in something that was greater than himself. He believed in something that was greater than the desires of the lust of his flesh and of the lust of his eyes and the pride of life. So he continued to be faithful and do that which was right and to be a faithful servant. So the question and what we go through is, God's going to test us and see if we're going to be a faithful servant. Are we going to live for this world? Are we going to live for the lust of the flesh? Are we going to live for the lust of the eyes or the pride of life? Or are we going to live for him? Are we going to live for that which is passing away? Because if we live for the things of this world, then we will pass away with this world and with the lust of this world. But those who do the will of God will abide forever. They will live forever. To them, they have the hope of eternal life, of everlasting life. So we endure through this time, in this temporary time. What we do now is temporary. This life is temporary compared to the eternity that is ahead. So are we going to live for that which is temporary, or are we going to live for that which is greater ahead? Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the men of old gained approval. So what is faith? It is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So Joseph exercised faith when he had the assurance of the hope that the dream, he had a conviction that what he dreamt was going to happen. And because he had that hope and he had that conviction and he had that faith, Joseph was a man of faith. So he had this faith in his life. He had not seen it yet, but he had this faith that it was going to happen. He had a conviction and assurance that it was coming. And for by it, he gained approval. But let's look at something else that Joseph had faith for. And this is Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 22. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the Exodus of the sons of Israel and gave commands concerning his bones. Now let's look at this in the Torah, where Joseph actually mentions this in Genesis chapter 50 and verse 24. And Joseph said to his brothers, I am about to die, but God will surely take care of you and bring you up from this land to the land which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Then Joseph made the sons of Israel swear, saying, God will surely take care of you, and you shall carry my bones up from here. So Joseph receives this dream, and I believe that Joseph believed it from the onset, that his brothers one day were going to bow down to him. He has to go through a process in order for him to be positioned in a place, in order for this to happen. He didn't know all that. All he knows is he gets thrown in a pit, but he still believes the dream. He gets sold as a slave unto Potiphar, but he still believes the dream, and he remains a faithful servant. He is falsely accused and thrown into jail, and he remains a faithful servant, even in the jail, after remaining a faithful servant, he doesn't lose heart. He continues to do what is right. And from there, he is positioned in a way so that when Pharaoh dreams a dream, he can interpret that dream. And he gets the opportunity to stand in front of Pharaoh and interpret that dream. Then he gains favor with Pharaoh. And Pharaoh says, what man better than to execute the plan that has been given by this dream than Joseph? Why was Joseph deemed worthy to be that man? Because he remained faithful. So he put himself in position to be elevated, to be the second in charge with Pharaoh. I believe it's at this moment in time that things begin to click in Joseph's head on why he was given this dream. And now he knows it's probably just a matter of time before his family comes to Egypt looking for food. And that dream will be fulfilled. But see, it goes even beyond that when it comes to Joseph hoping, because Joseph brings his family into Egypt to take refuge during the famine. But Joseph knows that that is not where his family belongs. He knows that his family belongs in the land that was promised unto Abraham, unto Isaac, unto Jacob, his father. He knows that. So he knows that they are going to go back to their land. He has faith and belief in the fact that his family, his seed after him, will leave Egypt and they will go back to the land that was promised unto them, unto Canaan, and they would be prosperous there in the land. And so because he had that faith, what is his words that he said unto his sons? God will surely take care of you. Carry my bones up from here when you go to the land of my fathers. What we can learn from Joseph, and what we need to learn from Joseph, is the faith that Joseph had, the hope of Joseph, that he never lost heart. No matter what he went through, he never lost heart of the dream and the promise that God had given unto his fathers. And he believed it, and he held on to it, and he expected it with a confidence for it to happen and to occur. And for us, no matter what our temporary circumstances are, no matter what the light affliction is that we are going through, we do not lose heart. We do not lose hope, but we hold on to our hope with full expectation and a confidence that which God has spoken will come to pass. Well, hallelujah, we are so glad that you have joined us for this week's teaching. We will be back again next week with another teaching. So come back now and shalom, y'all. Scripture quotations taken from LSB, Legacy Standard Bible, copyright 2021 by the Lockman Foundation,
used by permission, all rights reserved, managed in partnership with 316 Publishing Incorporated, lsbible.org, and 316publishing.com.